The young people at the lakeside made a pretty picture from a distance in their summer frocks and white shirts. The glasses they held were filled with a liquid that sparkled in the sunlight, and the grass at their feet looked soft enough to go barefoot. In reality, the picnickers were sweltering beneath their clothes. The champagne was warm, and if anyone had thought to take their shoes off, they would have had to walk through goose droppings. Still, they were willing to feign jollity in the hope that their pretense would encourage the real thing. A young man at the edge of the crowd caught sight of movement up near the house. A girl in a strange outfit, accompanied by a lump of a man. There was something about her. He failed to respond to his companion's joke. The companion looked to see what had caught his attention and fell silent in turn. A group of young women, eternally alert to the doings of young men, even when the young men are behind their backs, turned to see what had caused the sudden silence. And there followed a sort of ripple effect, whereby the entire party turned to face the newcomers, and seeing them, were struck dumb. Across the wide lawn walked Isabel. She neared the group. It parted for her as the sea parted for Moses, and she walked straight through it to the lake edge. She stood on a flat rock that jutted out over the water. Someone came toward her with a glass and a bottle, but she waved them away. The sun was bright. It had been a long walk. It would take more than champagne to cool her down. She took off her shoes, hung them in a tree, and, arms outstretched, let herself fall into the water. The crowd gasped, and when she rose to the surface, water streaming from her form in ways that recalled the birth of Venus, they gasped again. This plunge into the water was another thing people remembered years later, after she left home for the second time. They remembered and shook their heads in a mix of pity and condemnation. The girl had had it in her all that time. But on the day, it was put down to sheer high spirits, and people were grateful to her. Single-handedly, Isabel brought the whole party to life. One of the young men, the boldest, with fair hair and a loud laugh, kicked off his shoes, removed his tie, and leapt into the lake with her. It was Roland March, the host's spendthrift son. A trio of his friends followed. In no time at all, the young men were all in the water, diving, calling, shouting, and outdoing each other in athleticism and splash. Thinking quickly, the girls saw there was only one way to go. They hung their sandals in the branches, put on their most excited faces, and splashed into the water, uttering cries that they hoped would sound abandoned, while doing their utmost to prevent any excessive dampening of their hair. Their efforts were in vain. The men had eyes only for Isabel. Charlie did not follow his sister into the water. He stood a little farther off and watched. With his red hair and his pallor, he was a man made for rain and indoor pursuits. His face had gone pink in the sun, and his eyes stung as the sweat from his brow ran into them. But he hardly blinked. He could not bear to take his eyes off Isabel. How many hours later was it that he found himself with her again? It seemed an eternity. The party broke up with a round of promised invitations and damp kisses. When Charlie approached her, Isabel had Roland's jacket arranged around her shoulders, had Roland himself in the palm of her hand. Not far off, a girl loitered, uncertain whether her presence was wanted or not. Plump, plain, and female, the resemblance she nonetheless bore to the young man made it clear she was his sister. "Come on," Charlie said roughly to his sister.
"So soon, I thought we might go for a walk, with Roland and Sibylla."
She smiled graciously at Roland's sister, and Sibylla, surprised at the unexpected kindness, beamed back. Charlie could get his own way with Isabel at home, sometimes, by hurting her, but in public he didn't dare, and so he buckled under.